لله رب العالمين. Please enjoy a sugar-free salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa ala Muhammad.
Ba'ajjil farajahum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad
wa ala Muhammad.
Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the Almighty God include us inshallah among the sa'imin and qa'imin, those who've been fasting the days of the months of Ramadan and have been supplicating in the nights of the holy months of Ramadan inshallah. And may all of us from his bounty inshallah enter paradise from the gate of Rayyan that is exclusively made for the fasters of the month of Ramadan. As part of my dedication and contribution to this big complex at Alhamdulillah, I had the honor and the pleasure of seeing when it had just started last year, and I was very much impressed that within a year, mashallah, such a big project almost is fulfilled and accomplished, at least this part of it, Masjid and Husayniyeh. Inshallah, the topic for tonight will be about my houses on earth, which is a part of a hadith, the Qudsi, from the Almighty God. But before we get to the topic, what I mentioned last night, I need to clarify and complete it, also add to it, is about when you are out of town, where is your home, and you're out of time, town in regards to fasting. Please remember the rule is that if you are fasting, whether in the month of Ramadan or out of month of Ramadan, when you are having a wajib fasting, as long as after Fajr prayer until before Zuhr prayer, in between, like before Zuhr prayer, any time that you are out of town, you have the option. If you know that you may come back, or most likely you will come back home before noon time, you have the option of keeping your fast. Or in other words, let's give it this example, real example. You are flying from Dubai to Mombasa, as it happened to me. When I left Dubai, it was after morning prayer. And I knew that, inshallah, I will land in Mombasa before noontime. While I'm out of Mombasa, where I want to intend to stay for 10 days or more, I cannot fast. It's not possible to fast when you are traveling. But what is possible and is kind of recommended as well is that you refrain from eat, drink, you don't eat anything from Fajr time onward until when you land in Mombasa. Once you arrive home or where you intend to stay 10 days or more, then you make intention that from now that the plane landed before noontime, I made intention that I want to fast today. And because I had not done anything that to break my fast before this, it was possible to do it. At the same time, I had the option of while I'm out, flying from Dubai, for example, to Mombasa, before I reach Mombasa, even though I know I will get here before noontime, but I may say that, no, I don't feel I like to fast today because I don't have any obligation. Before I arrive to Mombasa, I should have eaten and drank something so that I'm not fasting anymore. And then when I arrive, even though I'm landing before noontime, I'm not fasting. I had missed the fasting of this day. The The benefit of this, the reason that I mentioned this with regards to dental work, was that if you want to break your fast without committing any sin, the easy option is that you drive out of the town 24 kilometers to be safe. And while you are out, and this is before noontime, while you are out away from Mombasa 24, 25 kilometers, you eat something as a musafir, it's permissible to break your fast. You eat something, you are no longer fasting. Then you come back home, you go for your dental work, surgery, or anything that you have to do. Or people that are not sure whether I'm in a situation that I can break my fast or not because of my health. I'm not sure whether really I'm too sick that this justifies breaking the fast. In such situation, if it's possible to drive away, this is the safest way. In the morning, if it's afternoon, no. In the afternoon, even if you draw, if you fly all the way back to, let's say, to Dubai or anywhere else, in the afternoon you have to complete your fasting. You cannot break it anymore. Inshallah, it's clear. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
There is a hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoted to have said, "Inna buyuti fil ardi al masajid." Surely my houses on earth are masajid. Masjid, literally it means a place of sijda and prostration, which is an expression for namaz, for salat, for prayers that we pray. So any place that is dedicated mainly for praying, for daily prayer, this is called masjid. And for that reason, the main activity of that place should be praying. Not that there is nothing else, like we can have lectures, Islamic education and things in it, which is within the permissibility of working inside the masjid. But the main activity is that people, they go there for their daily prayers. And this place is called masjid. Suffice to mention about the significance of masjid in Islam to know that clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions that inna awwala baytan wud'a lin-nas lalladhi bi-Bakkata mubaraka. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and Eve, the very first house that was built on earth for people, especially for worshipping, was bi-Bakkata mubaraka, in the blessed Mecca, that is Masjid al-Haram, inside which is Kaaba al-Muqaddasa, Holy Kaaba. So before any humankind has any building, any houses on earth, the house of God was there, the place of worship was there. When the Prophet of Islam migrated to Medina, where he could establish his Islamic state, he could openly establish and announce Islam as the religion, before, in fact, he arrives in Medina, at the outskirts of Medina, in a suburb called Quba, he built a very humble, simple masjid that was developed throughout the century. And now when you see, a huge masjid. It's called Masjid Quba, that Ammar Yasser had the honor of putting the very first brick of that masjid as well. So you can see again from the practice of the Prophet migrated to a city, before he thinks of any accommodation for himself, he built the house of God. He built masjid. More examples. Imam Ali alayhi salam, we all know that he was born in masjid, in Kaaba, in Masjid al-Haram. He was martyred in Masjid al-Kufa. Even knowing that, as we'll talk about it inshallah, even knowing that he will be martyred in the masjid, he will be killed in the masjid, yet that did not stop him from going to the masjid and praying and leading the morning prayer. The very first place that Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif will be seen when Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When he reappears, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten his reappearance, will be in the masjid, Masjid al-Haram. Okay? A man with the name of Abu Ubaid al-Hadda, his business was, he was a shoemaker, a humble shoemaker, was not a tycoon. He goes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and says, "Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I heard a hadith from you. I want to clarify it with you." He said, "What is that? Is it true that you said, 'Man bana masjidan, bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah'? Whoever builds a masjid on the day of judgment in paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for him or her a palace in paradise." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam confirmed and said that, "Yes, that's correct. This is what we have said, and this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Abu Ubaidah, he said that on the way going to Hajj in the desert, I wanted to pray somewhere, right in the middle of a desert. I decided to spend some time, and I built a very humble cube-shaped building with a straw on the top to cover myself against the heat. And I dedicated it, I wrote on something that this is waqf for the sake of God, for to be a masjid. Very small, like 2-3 people can stay and pray only. Is this also considered balan masjid, building a masjid, or it has to be 3-story building? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, man bana masjidan walau kamafhas qatatin banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah. If you build a masjid even as small as the nest of a bird, figure of speech, as small as nest of a bird, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to his good intention, will build for you a palace in paradise. Okay, so many narrations and riwayat we have about significance of building a masjid. In fact, it is even recommended that you dedicate a part of your house as a masjid. Imam Ali alayhi salam had given a corner of one of the rooms of his house and made it as a masjid. He had his prayer mat open there, his mushaf, his Quran and things were always there. Anytime that he wants to offer his, of course, wajib prayer, he goes to masjid. Mustahab prayer, nawafil that you want to do at home, there is always a place in your house. And I've seen some people, alhamdulillah, that they have dedicated this place in their home. Even they have something for special lights or Imam Bargah things, that if they want to just dedicate, spend some time at home, have a secluded area home, this is also a recommendation. To even in your house, you have somewhere. In your business, if it's possible, if you are living in a in a business complex that you've got other Muslims around, if it's possible for you to dedicate one of your offices, a room in your office, in your company, call it a masjid or musalla, whatever you call it. Encourage others. Say, at prayer time, it's difficult for you to go to the masjid, you can come and pray here. You get the reward of what they will be doing as well. Among the masajid, there are some masajid, of course, that is much more rewarding to go and pray there. 4 masajid in the world are the most rewarding places: Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabi, Masjid Kufa, and the Haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, subhanallah, that is also considered very rewarding to pray there as well. In the biography of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, we have this, and this is really giving me goosebumps every time I come across this practice of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. How long would it take for you to travel, fly, even if you want to drive from here to go to Najaf al-Ashraf? I'm sure it wouldn't take you 2 weeks. Huh? Imagine this, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, 1400 years ago, used to get onto his horse, ride his horse almost 2 weeks, all the way from Medina, going to Kufa, visiting the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which at that time, by the way, was secret and unknown, and then he goes to Masjid Kufa, which is one of the very, very rewarding places in the world to pray. And spend one night over there, doing some namaz, pray, a'mal of Masjid Kufa. The next day he's on his horse back home. And say, Yabna Rasulullah, you have just arrived. Imam Zainul Abidin says that, I've got life, I'm busy. I came all the way, 2 weeks of riding my horse, coming to Kufa just to spend one night in Masjid Kufa and going back home. So if you can afford it to fly from Mombasa to Najaf or wherever else in the world to Najaf to spend only one night in Masjid Kufa, it's worth the trip and plus. This is the significance of offering 2 rakat prayer. 1 rakat prayer that you pray in masjid is worth more than 25 rakat, the riwayat says, that you pray at home. Remember this also, inshallah, as well. On the day of judgment, this complex, this masjid, including the Husayniyya, that I tell you in a broader sense, Husayniyya is part of the masjid as well, because it's part of the education of the masjid. All right, this project and this complex, inshallah, will intercede the entire community to proceed to paradise. There are ample narrations, authentic narrations, that there are 3 in every community, Muslim community, that either they complain to God or intercede for the members of the community. One of them is a masjid in the community. If the masjid was attended by the community members, every individual that spent time and attended the masjid, as I will explain it, that masjid on the day of judgment says, I know this person, I know this lady, I know this brother. They have been attending me, they have been visiting me, because the Almighty God says, أَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ بُيُوتِي فِي الْأَرْضِ. Masajid are my houses on earth. It is part of the etiquettes of inviting visitors over, that when you invite someone over, the host tries to show his or her generosity, respect and honor to the guest, isn't it? The Almighty God says, وَحَقٌ عَلَى الْمَزُورِ أَنْ يُكْرِمَ زُوَّارَهُ. It is an obligation upon me as the host to respect and to honor and to be generous to my visitors. So every time you come here, consider it that you are visiting the Almighty God. This is لِغَاءُ اللَّهِ. Going to the house of God, and there are etiquettes, and inshallah we want to review some of them as well. Those who go with this, and this has become life, their lifestyle, upon their death until the day of judgment, that masjid will intercede for them, do shafa'ah for them. Unfortunately, if there are some that inshallah don't exist in our community, that not only they don't attend the masjid, they have always excuses and excuses, rather worse than that, even discourage others to come, this masjid on the day of judgment will complain about them. Ya Rab, I don't know this person. I've never seen him in your house. He never cared to come to your house. He cared to go, he would accept any invitation to anyone's house, but he never had time to come to the house of God. Do you see? This is the response. Now that we have this and alhamdulillah masajid, the greater responsibility will be upon us. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Wa ajjil farajum. Conditions apply as always. You know how when they give you something, a product or some of the commercials, then a smaller font writes, conditions apply. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't write with a smaller font. There is no catch in this business. Very big font, Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, ayah number 18. Well, let's learn about the conditions of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to build a palace for them, or palaces for them in paradise. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innama ya'muru masajid Allah man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَعَسَى أُولَٰئِكَ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. إِنَّمَا, when it comes in the beginning of a sentence in Arabic language, usually it means that exclusively. So this ayah, the background of it is that it is not becoming, or it is not acceptable for every Tom, Dick and Harry that they think that they are building a place of worship. In other words, not every place of worship in Islam is respected. Idol worshippers, they had their temples as well. They had their houses of idols as well. Now there are some, like, I don't know, the different philosophies or things that they have their own so-called places of worship as well. Not every place of worship is acceptable in Islam. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ, built and developed, مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Masjid is a general term in this ayah. In general, it means wherever that people prostrate for God. Not anyone says that I'm prostrating for God is prostrating for God. The idol worshippers of Mecca also, they were saying that we are prostrating before these idols because إِنَّمَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We are worshipping these idols to make us nearer to God. But this is not acceptable. Okay? So إِنَّمَا, exclusively, يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. What is يَعْمُرُ? From عُمْرَان. عُمْرَان, literally, it means when you are developing a building, literally, physically. But there is more into it. One of the meaning of Umran is ziyara, and therefore Hajj al-Umrah, that we go because we are visiting the house of God. So innama ya'muru masajid Allah, one meaning of it, and inshallah one day I will speak about this, that Quran has layers, millions of layers of meanings, and all could be correct. One meaning is that only those who have certain criteria that we learn about inshallah now are the ones that when they build the masjid, the construction, it will be accepted from them. Second meaning of Imran, only those who believe in God and the last day and pray and give zakat are those that when they come to the houses of God, their attendance and their coming is considered also Umran al-Masjid, developing of Masjid, visiting of Masjid. Because remember, one of the meanings of Umran was to visit. So every single one of you, the youngest children here, that they have attended this Masjid, every person matters. Every person is in their own way, male or female, young or old, they are contributing towards the development of this project. Because imagine if we have the luxurious masjid in the world, yet no one ever attends it, and the masjid is empty. This masjid is not developed. This masjid on the day of judgment will complain that, Ya Rab, look how spacious I was in this community, but nobody attended me, nobody visited me. So part of the meaning of developing a masjid after building the construction is attendance. Attending the masjid also matters. Okay? That's why we are so encouraged, every single person. There is an ayah before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a comparative study. It says, look at two sides of it. One are those who are developing the masjid by their attendance. Don't say, I don't have money to contribute. You have time to contribute, my friend. You go to the masjid and your attendance is considered on the day of judgment, subhanallah. You will be also among those who build the masjid. Because by your participation, you contributed towards development of this masjid. Quran says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهِ. Who are worse in action? Let me show you the one who has been wronging themselves more than anyone else on earth. Who are the Yarab? Those that they endeavor to ruin and to demolish masajid. And they don't let the name of God be mentioned in the houses of God. Is it possible? Ya Rab, I don't remember ever I demolished any masjid. Of course you demolish. How? As I said, you did not attend the masjid, and you even discouraged. In a cunning way, you sat with people and tried to discourage them that this is not masjid. We don't need to go there. There's no reward going there. Astaghfirullah. How can we say these things? How can we say these things? Members of community have put the efforts together, build something that is so exceptional. I mentioned to some of the brothers, coming from the West, I can confidently say that every Muslim Shia in the Western world, they cannot even dream of having facilities like this. They cannot even dream of it. Alhamdulillah, you have it. Take advantage of it. Invest for your akhirah on it. So Quran says that those who not only don't attend, they even discourage others, they are وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. God forbid, unknowingly, they are contributing towards the demolishment or demolishing of that masjid. It is not fair. They should not do this. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ. So now we know the meaning of Imran, development. Whether to build it physically and also to attend it and take advantage and benefit from it as much as possible. Make as many programs as possible so that this masjid is so active. It's just like a business. Once upon a time, I don't know, do you have here 7-Eleven? In some Western countries, there are 7-Eleven stores. Once upon a time, to work from 7 a.m. until 11 p.m. was a long business hours. And hence that business was called 7-Eleven. Now most of the 7-Elevens have become 24 hours. Then they have exceeded even their names. I usually say that if for their dunya they are open from 7 to 11, for our akhirah let us be open 24 hours. If the nightclubs close at 2, 3 in the morning, I don't know what time exactly they close. I can't remember last time I was there. Astaghfirullah. But I had seen, because I used to live somewhere that I could see when the cars coming back from the city. Masjid should be open longer than that. There should not be such situation that a visitor comes to Mombasa, for example, and wants to pray and the masjid is closed. Inshallah, we should always have masjid open, available for any visitor that wants to come to the house of God. Even I've got some issues, I want to spend half an hour between me and God. There is no occasion here. Is it possible that I can be admitted to the masjid to spend some time on my own? Of course, brother, this house of God, we are the servants of God here. By all means, make sure that you keep it clean and things like that. This is the house of God for the community, for everybody. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. The first condition is that the developers of masjid themselves, they have to be believers. Second condition, وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Also, they need to believe in the last day, meaning that they should be true Muslims. Third is that it's not enough to say that Alhamdulillah, God ought to spend millions of dollars on this project, but now I'm too busy to go to the masjid. Doesn't work this way, brother. The developers of the masjid should be among those who will be seen more than anyone else. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. The third condition that God puts for the developers is that they should be among the regular attendees of the masjid, of course, as much as possible. وَآتَ الزَّكَاةِ, meaning that it also matters whether you are among the homes payers, zakat payers, or not. If it's just because, you know, in the West sometimes we want to avoid tax, we spend it somewhere else to make it tax deductible. If I want to make it homes deductible and I spend my money somewhere else because I want to escape homes, this is again not acceptable. No, I go seek permission of my marja and I spend it under his instruction. وَآتَ الزَّكَاةِ. This is my zakat that I have given. وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When you build a masjid, subhanAllah, this ayah was revealed at the time that building a masjid was a challenge. By and large, perhaps quite similar to some of the Western countries, that it's a challenge really to build a masjid. So many legalities against you, common general public view is against you building a masjid. Quran says that be prepared for the challenge. Fear none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't say that I don't want my name to be there because it may affect my business negatively. There are some repercussions on my business. وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I'm contributing towards the house of God and I don't care about the rest of it. I fear none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After meeting these four conditions, yes, you may hope. فَعَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. Now they may hope that hopefully I will be among those that are guided by the Almighty God or accepted the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that on the day of judgment, inshallah, I will have a palace for me in paradise. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Some rules of masjid I have, I'm conscious about the time. Quickly I go through it. I hope I can finish it, inshallah. Please bear with me because we don't want to give more than one session. We have so much to go through. Some of the rules of masjid to review quickly. First of all is that masjid is a place that is built infinitely for the sake of praying. So if I built a place and I say that for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years only, there's a time limit for it, this place is, we call it musalla, we don't call it masjid. Masjid, even if there's an individual donor for it, the best way to make it masjid is to make it waqf, and then says that once it becomes waqf, endowment no longer is mine, even if I have given millions of dollars for it, no longer it belongs to me. It belongs to the community. Do we need to formulate the waqf endowment verbally or not, like reading sighe waqf or not? Ayatollah Sistani, Hafizahullah, the late Imam Khomeini, and some of the maraji like this, they say that there is no need for that. As long as it's built for that purpose, and the intention is to leave it there infinitely for masjid, the first jama'ah prayer is held there, it becomes masjid. After that, it's automatically masjid. But mashhur opinion, they say, and perhaps it doesn't harm for precaution, to verbalize the sighe as well. Sighe masjid, it means that you verbalize the waqf in this way, and with the consent of the donors and those who are in charge of it, they say, like, for example, this hole only. I'm just giving an example. This hole only, we make it, and from here to there, there to there, there to here, in this, وَقَفْتُهَا مَسْجِدًا قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ. I endowed it as masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outside, we say, no, we didn't read the sighe for that. Upstairs, we didn't read the sighe. In case ladies go because of some jurisprudential restrictions and things like that, certain part of it you dedicate and you make the sigha for the masjid, it becomes masjid after that. One of the ahkam of the masjid is the responsibility of the neighbors of the masjid is greater. Those who are living within the vicinity of 40 houses from all directions to the masjid, they are considered the neighbors of masjid. They have the more they have more responsibility and they have the priority to attend the masjid more than others. Okay? I try to make it very quick because there is a lot to go through. Another thing is that when you attend the masjid, it's also very important you dress up properly. Imam, I give you only this example and move on. You read the rest. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, one night they saw him going to the masjid, groomed, well dressed. Somebody commented, like, he said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, inshallah khair, you are going for a wedding? Imam says that, yes, I'm going to marry the Hurul Ain. He said, where are they? I'm coming as well. He said, by all means, join the club. I'm going to masjid. I'm going to the house of God. Come on, when you are invited to the house of the government, to the house of a king, how would you dress up properly? I'm going to the house of God. So grooming is mustahab. خُدُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. When you want to go to a masjid, keep your best and clothes, neatest, cleanest clothes for when you go to the masjid. Ya Allah. Again, learning from the practice of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt, in particular Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, every time that he reaches the masjid, stays behind the gate of the entrance, reads this dua, Elahi dhaifuka bibabik, Ya Muhsin, qad ataka al-musi'. فتجاوز عن قبيح ما عندي بجميل ما عندك يا كريم. And Imam Hassan is Kareem Ahl Bayt. So let us learn this as well. A practice from Imam Hassan Mujtaba. The moment that you come here, before you enter, you say, Ya Muhsin قد أتاك المسيح. Oh, you good doer, righteous, generous, the sinful person has come. Humbly I've come to your house. I'm your visitor. I'm your guest. And you promise to respect your guests, to honor your guests. Forgive me. All right? Meaning that we come with etiquette, with respect, with conscience. What else? If it's the prayer time, it does the job. You join the prayer. If it's not even the prayer time, part of the etiquette of attending the masjid is that the moment you enter the masjid, offer two rakat namaz tahiyyat. This masjid, subhanAllah, we think that it's bricks and buildings, inanimate beings. But in reality, there is nothing inanimate. They are all animated. We don't hear them. On the day of judgment, I told you that this masjid speaks. So part of etiquette of entering the masjid is two rakat namaz tahiyyat. You enter, you stay towards the qibla, Allahu Akbar, namaz tahiyyat, it means greeting the masjid. Like morning prayer, you've done your job because it's masjid. Some people, they go to masjid, spend hours and hours reading Quran, but they have not offered two rakat prayer. Or there's majlis aza in the masjid, they have not offered two rakat prayer. It's not fair. There are programs around the world inside the masajid. They 2, 3, 4 hours you see that he's been there. Not to offer rakat prayer they have offered. Because it wasn't prayer time. So what, it wasn't prayer time? Even if it is midday, offer 2 rakat prayer as namaz tahiyyat. And then you have paid the respect of the masjid. Okay, about turning lights and things like that, I pass it by. Some of the makruhat of the masjid is that if it's possible, inshallah in your community you don't smoke, huh? Do you have smokers here? Inshallah, so that God blesses all the smokers to quit. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Inshallah, you are not smoking, but especially when you come to the house of God, please remember there is no smoke, no fire in paradise. Don't get used to it. You're going to miss it in paradise. Alright? At least within the vicinity of the construction, If you have to, and inshallah you don't, stay somewhere away. Out of respect for the house of God, try to avoid smoking, not only inside the masjid, even around it. Make sure that you brush your teeth if you have you had garlic or something that is a bad smelling. Avoid it. Feet also come clean with no odor or things like that. Allahu Akbar. The most important issue that I want to share with you. I wish this clock the battery stops. It's not good that there's a clock above my head, because I know that psychologically you keep looking at it and check the time. It's better that it's in front of the speaker, by the way. Question: is it permissible or recommended for the ladies to attend masjid, or is it only for the gents? Answer: we have two categories of riwayat. One category of riwayat, it seems apparently to say that the best place of praying for ladies is their home. Second category, they are encouraged to attend the masjid. So what are we supposed to do? A technical, again, work requires here to make reconciliation between them. Long story short, few narrations that mention that the masjid of the lady is better for them to be in their houses. It says that when she prays at home, she gets the reward of those who pray in masjid. And I tell you the wisdom behind it. Otherwise, there are ample reasons that some of them have collected them, searching through the riwayat, try to collect them to come with a conclusion. Briefly, inshallah, I'll share them with you because I think this is something is important to know about it. First reason that I have that is recommended for ladies along with gents also to attend the masjid, no gender difference. First reason, in the very beginning, the first Jama'ah prayer was held on earth. I mentioned the first night. The Prophet is leading the Prophet, leading the prayer. Imam Ali is praying behind behind the Prophet. And who else? Khadija. Bibi Khadija salamullah alayha was also praying. That salat was held in Masjid al-Haram. And hence even the idol worshippers were observing them. Who are these three? What are they doing? So namaz started in jama'ah, one man and one woman behind the Prophet. Where? In the holiest place in Masjid al-Haram. One reason. Second reason, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, and I quote, that in early time of Islam, women used to pray behind gents. We didn't have even a curtain dividing them. But the Prophet had said, because of the poverty status of Muslims in early time, that some of them, their clothing were short. Apparently they could not afford to dress properly. The Prophet had made announcement, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, to the ladies that take off your head from the sejda, go quick. Wait for men to sit up and then you sit up. Lest, because their clothes are short, like for example, it's not nice. Wait for them to sit up because you are praying behind them and then you can sit up. Okay, this is the second example. That shows what? That ladies used to attend the Jama'ah prayer and praying as well. Third, the Holy Prophet says, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. It's a house of God. It's not only for men. House of God is for the creation of God. Male servants of God. Females, female servants of God. إماء الله, yani female servants of God. Let them also come like you and reap the rewards of attending the masjid, learning the religion in masjid and things like that. This is the third reason. We have a hadith that Shia and Sunni have narrated this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he shortened his prayer, quickly finished it. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what happened? You were very quick today. He said, Ama sami'tum sawt as-sabi fi saff an-nisa? Didn't you hear the cry of a baby in the rows of the ladies? What does it mean? Ladies were also attending the Jama'ah prayer, praying behind the Prophet also as well. At times later on, they had made a curtain, one side ladies, one side gents attending as well. We have narrations that some ladies, they would put a condition in their marriage contract that I will not accept your proposal to marry you unless you write in the marriage condition, you sign that you allow me to go to masjid. Atike is an example of that. Umar ibn al-Khattab, unfortunately, was known to be among those who didn't like his wives to go to masjid. Wallahu alam. He proposed to Atike. Atike says, I will not marry you unless you accept that I have to go to masjid, because I'm on the habit of praying behind the Prophet. If marriage is going to keep me away from masjid, I don't want this marriage. And he accepted that condition. Okay. More examples you want for this. Another situation. A lady, the Prophet had just finished his prayer. From the ladies section, she stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a widow living by myself. It's difficult for me. Find me a husband. Very straightforward, very simple. The Prophet looked at the brothers and said, brothers, is there anyone interested to marry this lady? And they cannot see her, they can only hear her, obviously. A man stood up and said, you must have heard the story. We have it in Kitab al-Nikah, the book of marriage, that a man stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm willing to marry her. The Prophet says, and what do you have for mahar? He goes, I don't have anything other than what I'm wearing. The lady said, look at my luck. The only man who's proposing to me is penniless. He's only got his shirt. The Prophet said, no, you cannot give your shirt. You need it. Then the Prophet came up with a suggestion. He said to the lady, do you read Quran? She goes, no, Ya Rasulallah, I'm illiterate. I don't know how to read Quran. Ask the man, do you know how to read the Quran? Yes, I do. You teach her the Quran and this is the mahr. Moral of the story. Ladies were attending the masjid. Otherwise, how this, you see, from here and then, that's how we can collect these pieces of information to come to the conclusion that it is not true that the best place of worshipping for ladies in there is their houses. Even that so-called famous hadith, Salatul Mar'ati Baytuha, I did not find it in any books of hadith of the Shia at all. Yes, we have ahadith into that meaning, but the meaning, subhanAllah, is very different than this. What we have in the ahadith, it says that if a lady prays at home, she gets the same reward as other ladies or others praying in masjid. Why? For the following reason. With salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. According to ayah in Surah Ahzab, and I make it very short, at that time, ladies who were coming to the masjid, coming out of their houses, they had to walk, of course, on their alleys and streets. Especially night time, some of the hypocrites and the enemies of Islam, they would harass them, they would disturb them. And the road wasn't safe for them to come, one reason. Second reason, some of the ladies, naturally they were moms, breastfeeding ladies, she wants to put the baby into bed and things like that. It's not really practical possible for her to come as easy as men can come. She feels deprived, missing out. The Prophet had said to her that you don't need to worry about that. Pray at home, you get the reward of praying masjid because of your intention. Not that if there is no such problems, not that there is safety, not that when she can drive safely, go everywhere shopping and all around the town, and her husband has no issue with that. Even she's working, her husband has no issue with that. But the moment she wants to go to masjid, why are you going to the masjid? Masjid al-Mar'ati Baytuha. Don't abuse the religion to your advantage. It's not fair, it's not right. She's sitting in the car with you 100% safe, driving to the masjid. You know that there's no safety issue, and she doesn't need to worry about the children. She can bring them with her. There is therefore no problem. If that's the situation, not only it is not like makruh for the ladies to attend, it's even mustahab. Last example I give, and I think it's enough. I have still more to share with you, but no need to go any further. And that is, remember, the Prophet ﷺ used to do i'tikaf in the masjid. His wives also used to do i'tikaf as well. So i'tikaf was not only for ladies, for gents. Ladies and gents, each to their own, they used to have i'tikaf in the masjid. When you hear that in part of the rules of masjid is that ladies in their monthly period are not allowed to go to the masjid, what is the implied meaning of it? And when they are not in that situation, they are allowed to go, and they go, and it's mustahab. Do you see, all these evidences, they prove that it is mustahab for ladies to attend the masjid, reap the rewards of namaz jama'at, learn their religion and be educated, in as much as it is mustahab for gents as well. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ya Allah, Friday evening, let us go to the Haram of Abu al-Fadl Abbas. Last night we started with Imam Hussein alayhi salam and now Qamar Bani Hashim. Bab al-Hawa'ij ilallah. I wonder if anyone in this gathering really has any need. Now we want to approach the gate and asking the mercy of God in honor and respect of Bab al-Hawa'ij. The gate to the needs, to take your needs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gate to that is Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas, Qamar ibn Hashim. Among the very few people that in Karbala, Imam Hussein alayhi salam cried for them. One of them that literally Imam Hussein alayhi salam cried for was Qamar ibn Hashim, Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. أحق الناس أن يبكى عليه فتى أبكى الحسين بكربلاء. If you ever want to shed tears, shed your tears with the, for the one that Imam Hussein عليه السلام also shed his tears for, and that is Abul Fadl al-Abbas. یادم ز وفای اشجع الناس آید، از چشم ترم سوده الماس آید. The poet says, when you mention the name of Abu al-Fadl Abbas, even in this gathering, if anyone doesn't know English at all, doesn't know Arabic at all, but he's a Shia and has ever heard the name of Abul Fadl Abbas, and now he hears that this reciter, this speaker, mentioned the name of Abul Fadl, is enough for them to shed tears. It's enough for them to break their hearts. That's what the name of Abul Fadl Abbas does to his lovers and followers. On the day of Ashura, let's go to Karbala. Look at the scene. What do you see in the afternoon of Ashura? Almost all the companions, in fact, all the companions have gone to paradise. All the children of Imam Hussein alayhi salam have sacrificed their lives. We don't see Ali Akbar anymore. Even we don't see Ali Asghar anymore, perhaps. No Qasim, no, none of them are around. On the one wing of the battle, Imam Hussein is fighting. On the opposite wing, Abul Fadl Abbas is fighting. And they are sending signals to each other. Behind them, let us hear. We are hearing the painful cry of children, dying of thirst, crying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Some nephews and nieces of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Ya Rab, the grandchildren of the Holy Prophet are dying of thirst. And hence Imam Hussein looked at Abul Fadl, called him over. My dear brother, try to get some water before we die. Let us send water to the children. Abul Fadl Abbas runs his horse towards a tent that was dedicated for waters, and all the water skins and water bottles were kept there. Inside that tent, as he saw, subhanallah, a painful scene, he noticed that these young children, they had pulled up their shirts and lying down on the floor, on the ground of the tent, just hoping a bit of moisture is quenching their thirst. As soon as they saw Uncle Abbas, you could see on their faces sparks of light. And hence Abul Fadl is called Bab al-Khawa'ij. You could see now a smile on their faces. They looked at each other, hopefully. Uncle Abbas, boys, girls, Uncle Abbas is going to bring us water. And they were handing over the water skins. Uncle, take my bottle of water as well. Uncle, I'm dying of thirst. Look at my tongue, look at my mouth. But long story short, when Abul Fadl Abbas had lost all his hopes and he fell down on the hoof from the horse, he cried painfully, Ya Akha, Ya Hussein, Adrak Akha. Historians have mentioned Imam Hussein came looking at the body of his brother. Both arms were severed. Arrows sitting on his eyes. He,
the face is full of the blood. I don't know what Imam Hussein saw, that he so painfully baka buka and shadida. He cried out loud, holding his back. He said, "Al-an inkasara dhahri wa qallat hilati ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin." وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 بجاه محمد وآل محمد وبحرمة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.